This is the Week in Review, the last Week in Review before Tuesday's election. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, November 2nd. And we will welcome in two guests from different political perspectives to talk all politics during this Week in Review. We'll talk about all the issues making news in this home stretch in the race for president, in the race for U.S. Senate. We'll touch on other races in Wisconsin as well. And we'll welcome your input on the story that you want to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's welcome our guests. Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joy.
And David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joy.
All right, well, let's just get your both of you to give us a quick take on the polls that have been out recently, including the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College poll that we spent much of the morning talking about already. It shows President Obama leading Mitt Romney by 9 percentage points. A Marquette University Law School poll that came out earlier this week gave President Obama about an 8-point lead over Mitt Romney. Do you think President Obama has that kind of lead over Mitt Romney?
Well, they're certainly not lying about it. I mean, St. Norbert's has a good reputation. They've been working with public radio for years, and they've been pretty close in most of their polling. And the Marquette Law School poll, which I have some questions about, ends up at about the same point, 8 points ahead for Obama. So I think... With the national polls saying that Obama is ahead, let's say, in Ohio by 5 points and seems to be ahead in most of the swing states, add this into the state polling, and I think we can relax a little bit in terms of next Tuesday.
All right. Well, I guess, David, you might have a different take on this.
Well, what was the St. Norbert's lead on that?
9 points.
Wow. Well, that does back up Marquette, and I hadn't heard about the St. Norbert. Marquette's gone back and forth. It's very difficult to believe that there's this kind of whipsawing, going back and forth. I think there's been something like an 18-point switch if you take the previous poll, and the same thing with the U.S. Senate with Tommy Thompson's ahead, then he's behind, then he's ahead. But I also do. I hearken back to 1980 when Gallup, I think, in late October had Jimmy Carter up 47% to 39% for Ronald Reagan. And then in the last few days, people kind of fell out and they voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
In the U.S. Senate race, St. Norbert had Tommy Thompson ahead of Tammy Baldwin by 3 percentage points. That's within the margin of error of the poll. Marquette had Tammy Baldwin ahead of Tommy Thompson.
By about 1 point or so, yeah. Very close.
Yeah, so...
But Tammy's run a beautiful campaign. I mean, if you had taken bets 6 months ago whether Tammy had a chance to beat Tommy Thompson, I think very few people would have bet on Tammy, but she has run a terrific campaign, and I think she's raised the important issues that Tommy Thompson is no longer for you. Tommy Thompson is working for the lobbyists and the big pharmaceuticals and others in Washington, so he's... sold the farm.
You know, I like Tammy Baldwin personally. I think, I don't know, I've never met anyone who doesn't.
Look out, Tammy, it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. She has run the worst, most negative
campaign. Wait a minute, now you're kind of, my point.
I wish, yeah, I know it. And normally you'd be opposed, negative campaigning. Why can't they talk about the issues? Why can't she talk about her program? Number one, what's her record? Her record is despicable. it is literally despicable. I mean, she has given aid and comfort to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran. She's refused to condemn him or censor him. She voted present on a resolution in 2007. She's refused to have sanctions that would tell the freedom of protesters in Iran that, hey, we're behind you here in the United States, not according to Tammy Baldwin, except when she's running for governor. In fact, PolitiFact rated her Tommy Thompson actually, said she's run a very negative campaign.
She's actually running for the Senate. I don't know if you noticed. You said for governor?
She's running for the Senate. And PolitiFact said Tommy Thompson said that Tammy is running one of the most negative campaigns. PolitiFact said mostly true, only because she started the negativity after the primary. Well, of course she started the negativity after the primary. Think about it. What commercial is she run saying, here's what I've done in the House, and here's what I'm going to do in the Senate? She hasn't run that.
Do you want a quick reaction to whether...
Well, I'm just surprised that you could be that negative, but it shows that the Thompson people are scared. I mean, for the first time in Tommy's career, he's actually looks like he's going to lose. And, you know, so they have to now attack Tammy Baldwin as some sort of an ogre.
Well, are you opposed to being attacked? Now you're in favor of attack, I guess.
No, I've had my share of attacks, as you know, when I ran against Kasten and so on. So I don't like the idea of negative campaigning, but the fact is, that's the world we live in now. Tommy hasn't exactly been nice to her either. I thought in those debates, Tommy was looking at her like, does she know who I am? I'm an institution here in Wisconsin. Who in the world allows her to be at the same in the same stage as I'm in? So I thought Tammy out-debated him, and she's out-hustled him, and Tommy made a mistake in thinking that everybody's just going to fall over and vote for him again, and I don't think they're going to.
Well, you know, she's got this invisible record. I mean, you'd think at least Tommy at least is talking about how he cut taxes.
435 members of Congress have almost invisible records because you can't. How do you keep track of them all?
Well, you know,
I voted for it before I voted against it.
No, there is a way to keep track of it, and intelligent voters do that. There's two professors from Eastern University together a thing called VoteView. And they've compiled her record since 1999. When Tommy Thompson says,
who are they? Before you get to
the professors,
or the big names here?
Well, you know, someone from the University of Georgia and New York University. Well, it's, you know,
anybody from Ole Miss?
Do you? Well, there you go. Bring in the racism thing, right? Is that what you're trying to do? Ed? Here's the, you know, talk about negative. She
what,
ranks.
What did you put in your coffee this morning?
When Tommy Thompson says that Tammy Baldwin is to the left of Nancy Pelosi, she is. And this VoteView thing, which if I could make my point here, ranks Tammy Baldwin 19th most liberal of the 435 members in the House. Nancy Pelosi is 43rd. She is the most liberal federal representative from Wisconsin that we've ever had going back to 1960.
Goodness.
More liberal than Bob Kastenmeyer.
More liberal than
Gwen Moore.
How about Gaylord?
Much more liberal than Gaylord Nelson, more liberal than Russ Feingold.
Well,
you don't believe that? That's why you're supporting her. You wouldn't support her if she wasn't so
liberal.
What
are you talking about? You got to attack everybody. Somebody put some Tabasco sauce in your coffee.
No, wait a minute. Ed, do you dispute that Tammy Baldwin
has
liberal. A liberal record?
Yeah, she's progressive. She's liberal, whatever you want to say. But she's been fighting for Wisconsin. She's been fighting for the middle class. She's been fighting for people who don't have a voice in Washington. Tommy Thompson's been part of the Washington establishment. Now, he's no longer that boy from Elroy here in Wisconsin.
Oh, he got his head turned around in middle
millions
age.
Of dollars.
In middle age, and he made some money. You know,
how much money?
Well, I don't know yet.
Why don't you know? Because he won't show you his tax returns. He won't give his tax returns to Joy or anybody else, right?
Ed, you live in a very nice suburb. You live in a very nice
What's
suburb
that got to do
of
with
Madison.
The,
You're doing very well as an attorney. So let's not put on the poor clothes here and then sackcloth and whatnot.
I haven't. I just said that you don't know what Tommy is making because he won't show you his tax returns. What
He's
part
a millionaire.
Of
He's a millionaire. I don't. I mean, I.
Well, how
I
did he make that much money?
But compared to Herb Kohl, he's a pauper. But it never bothered you when Herb Kohl made money.
Yes, it did. I ran against him.
All right, you guys. I love listening to you, but we want to talk about a lot of other issues too, including. Mitt Romney is in West Allis this morning. Dave Blaska, he's supposedly going to be delivering his closing argument speech Friday morning in Wisconsin.
Whoa.
He is going to be speaking at State Fair Park in West Allis between 9:30 and 10 this morning. What's Mitt Romney got to say to close the deal?
Well, he's got to keep saying what he's been saying, I think. I liked his line that we can do better. That's the line that went from Ronald Reagan. We certainly can do better. Ronald Reagan turned the economy around in 2 years. We're just starting to dig out from underneath all that wasteful government spending, which really dampened the recovery. So he's got to say we can do better. This has not been a successful economy these last 4 years. It's been awful.
Well, how do you say it's awful when employment's gone up every month that Obama has been president of the United States? I mean,
it's going up at a rate of roughly 1.6 on average.
It's not going up as, yeah, and you've got a Congress that won't agree to anything.
Oh, I know it's the Republicans' fault. You guys had the Congress and the presidency, both houses of House and the Senate, for 2 years, and you decided to push through socialized medicine
Medicine. Yeah. Where did that happen? I must have been out of town.
You were.
When did that happen?
You're saying, Ed, that the Affordable Care Act is not socialized medicine,
right? Yeah. And I guess
not as socialized as Tammy would like it. I grant you that. No, I grant you that. She wants a single payer. When you hear the word single payer, it means the government. You're going to deal with the government every step.
All the Scandinavian countries, all the Western European countries have single payer, and it works. It's been working for 100 years.
Let me ask you this, Ed. We also have President Obama was in Green Bay yesterday. He's going to be in Milwaukee on Saturday with Katy Perry, I understand, the singer Katy Perry. And then in Madison on Monday with Bruce Springsteen, the boss. If he's got an 8 or 9 point lead, how come he has to come back so many times with all that star power?
Well, that's too tough a question.
You got to explain who Katy Perry is. I don't know who she is.
You're a firework. Can somebody play that song for us? Never mind.
Yeah, we're playing the hits here today.
I think it's pretty hard to judge how the candidates feel about their campaign by looking at where they're going to travel to the day before the election. Not much is going to happen on Monday or to change the outcome, but it is a little bit surprising. I think a better indication of how he's doing is that Mike Bloomberg endorsed him, and Bloomberg would not endorse if he thought that Barack Obama was going to lose.
He said he endorsed him because of climate change and the Hurricane Sandy. So,
yeah.
You think that's a big deal?
I think it's a very big deal that he has endorsed him. Colin Powell and Mike Bloomberg are two of the most famous people in this country who have decided that, looking at the two candidates, they're going to go with Barack Obama. I thought Colin Powell's endorsement was particularly strong and very helpful.
And Katy Perry, don't forget her.
No, let's.
Don't forget Bruce Springsteen.
What's your take on that endorsement, David?
Rudy Giuliani. Well, I'd say Mike Bloomberg. I would say stock up. Well, Rudy Giuliani endorsed my guy Mitt Romney. What do you think of that, Ed?
I think you could have it.
I always say, folks, you better stock up on your soda pop because apparently Barack Obama is going to ban it.
That's
the progressive way. I mean, that's
fortunately nobody knows what you're talking about.
Yes, because Mike Bloomberg in New York, sure they do. He's got this proposed ban on the big Slurpee or something here, and not as if New York has other problems.
Well, what do you think of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie talking about what a great job President Obama's been doing?
You know what? I think he did do a good job. Chris Christie's a straight shooter. I think you can believe him when he says, I'll vote for Mitt Romney.
He hasn't said that.
Yeah, well, yes, he did.
He's sort of a surrogate of Mitt Romney.
Last week.
Take away his coffee. He spoke at he was a keynote speaker at the convention. Yeah,
took him 25 minutes before he mentioned Romney. It was one of the great speeches I've ever heard.
True. That is true. Yeah.
I'd like to have him as a surrogate for Romney all over the country.
Let me get a caller. I'm going to get a caller in on the storm. Dave in Wanakee is with us. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hello. I thought that the character of the two candidates was really on display this week because you had President Obama stopped his campaigning to manage the crisis, and he interacted really well with the Governor Christie and Mike Bloomberg, and got praise from them both, and it just shows that the idea that Obama can't work with Republicans is ridiculous. But Mitt Romney spent his week lying about whether jobs are manufacturing jobs are being shipped out of Ohio to China, and staging a campaign event and calling it a hurricane relief.
All right, let's thank you, Dave. David, what about was Mitt Romney staging a hurricane relief event?
Well, I think that question answers itself. When you are a president and something happens, you have to attend to your duties. Barack Obama did that. I think, though, let's understand something about the hurricane. You had Governor Christie in the state of New Jersey. You had Mayor Bloomberg. You had all those mayors and Governor O'Malley in Connecticut who tended to their knitting, who did their job, unlike Governor Blanco and Mayor Nagin in Katrina in New Orleans where they didn't evacuate the people. Governor Christie went on the TV and radio and said, don't be a hero, don't be a fool. Do what our emergency government people are telling you to do. FEMA is not now and never has been a first responder unit. I've served in the command center, the Emergency Preparedness Center in the state of Wisconsin out in Wright Street that the Department of Emergency Management runs. When we had the great floods, I think it was the year 2008, FEMA has a desk. It's next to the desk that Red Cross has. There's a highway department desk, sheriff's department.
How do you explain Mitt Romney's thing that he would send FEMA responsibility back to the states and suggested it be privatized?
You haven't been listening yet.
He changed his mind on that, though.
He may have. I don't know if he did or not, but what I'm trying to make the point
probably
is...
back. Cirque du Soleil is in town.
What I'm trying to make the point here is that FEMA will give you low-cost grant loans and grants and whatnot. They're not a first responder. They're not... FEMA's not out there boarding up and cleaning out the subways. They're not doing that. And so, going back to
Katrina, the states are doing a better job of it?
They're doing it now. And the localities are doing it now. They are doing it. That's why my whole point.
Should it be privatized? Is this a position?
No. Well, you know, actually, they do hire a lot of contractors.
Yeah.
You know, folks, you're not going to have a whole department, a warehouse, a garage of trucks just waiting for a natural disaster that had never been used before. Your resources are taxed to the limit. So what happened? We had electrical companies and whatnot here in Wisconsin, utilities shipping their stuff east. That's called a private company.
Let's hold off your comments, Ed, on the ads about shipping auto jobs to China, but okay. Because we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what about the performance of the two candidates over the disaster?
Well, I think you know, to give Romney a break, there isn't much he could do at that point. I think he did the wrong thing by, you know, packaging up stuff that the Red Cross doesn't want to have this photo op at the same time refusing to answer questions from the people who were close to him saying, are you going to privatize FEMA? And he wouldn't answer any of the questions. And that's typical of his campaign. He doesn't answer any of the questions that he puts out there. Obama looked like a president and acted like one and showed leadership. And I think that'll make a big difference among those independent voters who are trying to decide whether they want to have a car man or they want to have a leader.
Let's take another call on this. John in Burlington. Hi, John.
Hi. I think Christie and Obama working together is a great thing. I also think Christie embraced that whole situation, doing his job, but also knowing that Romney's going to lose and Christie's looking for his future. You know, they were awfully tight together for those photo ops and, you know, I was thinking they were about to kiss. They were so, you know, lovey-dovey with each other. So I think he's a wise politician doing his job now and looking for a different job.
Christie wants to run in 2016, Ed, you think?
I imagine the thought has occurred to him. Same thing with Mike Bloomberg. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are on the national scene who are thinking about the next election because Obama can't run for a third term.
Christie and... 2016?
Well, I suppose. I guess. You know, I'm more worried about Tuesday, November 6th.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, but do you think that his praise of President Obama was...
Chris Christie is a straight shooter, and you know, it just disproves the fact, I think, Ed. You know, we praise a person when they do well, you know, and taking out Osama bin Laden was a great thing. I give him full credit. There are a couple partisans who say, it was the Navy SEALs, but the president gave the order and I think, you know, the buck stops there. I wish they'd answer the same questions about Benghazi, but that could be another topic.
Well, it will be another topic. We'll talk about that as well as our Week in Review continues. David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor, Ed Garvey, senior partner in the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, are our two Week in Review guests on this Last Week in Review before Tuesday's election. 1-800-642-1234 if you have an issue in the news this week that you want to talk about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Week in Review with Ed Garvey and David Blaska. This morning, the October unemployment report was released. It showed the economy added 171,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate ticked up a notch 7.9%. It had been 7.8%. A vice presidential candidate, Paul Ryan, was in Ashwaubenon this week on Wednesday, and he said that he and Mitt Romney will be able to turn the U.S. economy around. Let's take a listen.
On day one, we're going to reverse this slide to economic stagnation, to a debt crisis, and we're going to get this country growing again. We're going to get this country moving again. We're going to get this country back on track again.
All right. Ed Garvey, who's going to get the economy back on track?
Atlas shrugged, but he isn't going to get the economy moving because he's not going to be in office. Well, he'll be in Congress, perhaps. We'll see. But one of the interesting things is that there was a report done by the Congressional Research Service that came out that said that lowering tax rates for the rich does not do anything to help employment. When the report came out, the Republicans didn't try to distinguish their position from this. They just said take the report down, so that they demanded that they put the report in the trash can so that people don't have any way to judge exactly what the correlation is or is not between lower taxes for the very wealthy and jobs.
Do you think that the jobs report showing, I guess it was slightly better than predicted, maybe not as good as it could have been, but it was 171,000 jobs.
Well, every month that he has been president, the number of jobs has increased. I mean, Obama came into a depression. Just a terrible situation brought about by the financial industry and by George Bush and so on. And so every month that he has been president, we've increased the number of jobs. That's pretty impressive. If that were the other case, if it were the other way around, the Republicans would be going crazy praising somebody for creating that many jobs. But we all know that neither the governor nor the president can't actually create jobs, but they can create the atmosphere and the enthusiasm and get the consumer enthusiasm up and confidence up. And I think that's what's happened with Barack Obama. He's done a hell of a good job.
And I'll get David in on this in just a moment, but let's take a listen to President Obama when he was in Green Bay yesterday, saying that Mitt Romney isn't offering anything new to solve our problems.
Governor Romney has been using all his talents as a salesman to dress up these very same policies that failed our country so badly. The very same policies we've been cleaning up after for the past 4 years. And he is offering them up as change.
So, David?
You know, I'd like to hear some new policies from Barack Obama. Ed, all I can say is, you know, you must have seen, must have been very impressed by the molehill that you saw recently. Let's say, hey, have a good molehill. So what are we talking here? We're talking about
molehills.
Yeah, we are, absolutely. And they're not mountains. I mean, we're talking about growth, you know, of 2012, as of at least yesterday, the growth rate was 1.7%. The year before, 1.8%. When Ronald Reagan came in 1984, by 1984, he showed a 7.2% growth rate. 1985, the economy, the GDP was growing by 4%. This is an awful slow recovery, if that's what it is.
But it's a recovery.
It is a recovery. There's a thing, and you've being in politics, Ed, you've heard of a dead cat bounce.
No.
If you drop the cat far enough, it'll bounce even if it's dead. You know, and that's what we are. I think finally.
I just think you lost a lot of votes.
I was going to say we got to come up with a different metaphor.
Right. I mean, that was Blaskin that said that. Drop your dead cat on the
trampoline. That's what your economy recovery is. I tell you what, and there's a reason why. Business people, including the national associations, are endorsing Mitt Romney. It's because they believe that he can do a better job. Well, I hope they do. I hope that everyone gets rich. I'm not, is to take. I really do. I would like to start with me. By the way,
no.
Why would? And this is the whole mythology that your folks portray as we want to screw with the little guy and whatnot. No, and employers. And business people, they'd love to have as many employees as they can. That's a sign that the company's doing well, but the company has to do well, or they don't have any employees.
Let's take a call from Scott in New Glarus. Hello, Scott.
Is this the governor?
Good morning, yes. lately, Governor Romney's been prancing around the country talking about how he's going to get tough on China. A prime example of the hypocrisy and prevarication of his talk is the Sensata plant in Freeport, Illinois. You've got 170 jobs there. It's a high-tech industry. These people are making a decent, not exorbitant living. That company has made record profits, $500 million in the last quarter. Romney has controlling interest in the company that is facilitating this move to China. And these people have asked Romney about it and asked him to come down there. And, you know, it's just the height of hypocrisy for him to have this going on. It's a move that he's going to profit from. It's a company that he has controlling interest in via his stock. And how in the world can he purvey himself as someone who's going to get tough on China when he's doing the thing that's so destructive?
All right. You want to address that first, Dave?
No, I don't know anything about it.
All right, Ed?
Well, I know something about it in that the plant is now being, all of the jobs are being moved to China. Bain Capital has a controlling interest in the company that is operating in Illinois. And Romney has not done anything to stop it. Governor Perry, I think, summarized Bain Capital rather well. They call them vultures, and that's essentially what they are.
So you're saying that Mitt Romney is still running Bain Capital. Is that what you're saying?
He still has a role in it, yeah. He still has a big, major shareholder. But I guess
he an officer then? Or
but you haven't seen his financial statements either. He, like Tommy Thompson, won't show them to you.
So how do you know about it?
Because I've been told that by people.
Okay, all right, fine. All right,
let me actually kind of move this to one of the big issues this week with ads that were running in Ohio, and the ad that Mitt Romney was running says Obama took GM and Chrysler into bankruptcy and sold Chrysler to Italians who are going to build Jeeps in China. And apparently Chrysler is saying this is highly misleading, saying a lot of people are saying this just is not true.
Or it's a lie.
All right, Ed. So is Mitt Romney lying when he says that U.S. automaker jobs are going to be shipped to China?
Yes, he is. And Chrysler came out with a statement saying exactly that he should be in the circus as a tramp, some kind of a performer for trying to suggest to the American people that they're going to move these jobs out of the United States, move them to China, when they're not planning to do that at all. And even though the companies have said that's not true, Romney continues to say that that's what's going to happen. And you just have to wonder, if truth came up and kissed him on the cheek, would he know what it was?
Yeah, Chrysler says it is adding 1,100 jobs to its plant in Toledo. It's also adding production facilities in China as demand for cars grow there. But they're not shipping all these jobs over there.
Yeah, so I don't know either. I do know that GM sells a lot of Buicks also in China. I don't know if they've started a plant there. I think it is true that one of the things that we've lost track of, I think, is Toyota and Honda and a few other foreign-based companies manufacture automobiles here. They did not need a bailout, by the way. I think it's somewhat equivalent to Barack Obama and Janesville saying, you know, elect me and you'll have these jobs going here, keeping here in Janesville. And that never happened.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Janesville because Ryan led people to believe that he fought for those jobs. In fact, he applied for some stimulus money, but he didn't get it, but he was applying for it.
All right.
What did he do to save those jobs for General Motors and for the people of Janesville?
I don't know. What did Tammy Baldwin do?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I don't think
she's not the congressman from that district.
Well,
Ryan was. Still is.
Still is, yes. I don't know what he did or what he didn't do, but apparently you just said that he tried to get some money for them. I'll tell you what he has tried to do, though. He's tried to have a... and by the way, General Motors was not bailed out. It was the UAW that was bailed out. Barack Obama bailed out the union. They're the only ones that didn't suffer. They got a big share of the company. The United States taxpayers upside down on General Motors. We bought the stock for something like $60 a share. It's worth $30 now. That GM could have gone bankrupt, reorganized, renegotiated its contracts with
the unions and the pension plans and all the people
who now we're hearing that across Wisconsin, many employees, especially in the blue-collar trades, are saying, we don't want a union here. All that does is lead to unemployment. We want to work.
Who's saying that?
Big story in the newspaper. Big story is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or the State Journal recently, in this past week, that normally in parts of the country, Ohio and other states, where unions have traditionally been strong, people are taking another look at that whole thing.
Do you recall that referendum that was held in Ohio, uh, and, and how that turned out?
Yeah, I understand how people voted, but I'm telling you, when people are faced with a job, do I want this job or do I want to drive this employer out? They make the choice that they'd rather be working rather than being manning the ramparts of socialism.
Let me move on to another election-related topic, and that being the control of the U.S. Senate, the political control of the U.S. Senate. Republicans, according to some news reports, seemed poised to take control of the U.S. Senate, but they now face an uphill battle after nominating several controversial candidates. While some Democratic contenders have run stronger than expected in some campaigns, in some states, I suppose Wisconsin could be considered one of those states as well. I'm wondering, Ed Garvey, how important is it for Democrats to hang on to control of the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think it's very important, as we saw during the first 4 years of the Obama administration, when you have a Congress that will not respond to any programs that are being offered by the president to try to resolve problems or to stimulate the economy. You at least have to have one of the two houses of Congress working with the president. I think in this case we're going to have two because when the Republicans figure out that Obama has won as a result of their recalcitrance and the low standing of the Congress in the minds of the American public, I think there's going to be more cooperation.
And David?
Well, you know, I mean, we've got a United States Senate that's controlled by the Democrats, and I don't think...
But not with 60 votes.
They haven't passed the budget yet. They voted against it, and the Democrats. I mean, they unanimously voted against Obama's last budget. So I don't know that we're getting any results from the United States Senate right now. I'd like to see Republicans sweep the board. But I think Joy, your question was... I think it is questionable now. It looked very, very promising earlier this year. I'm surprised that Tommy's having trouble against Tammy. It should be, you know, this is a state that 2 years ago elected Ron Johnson, who arguably
he win that election?
It was arguably one of the most conservative senators in Washington, along with Jim DeMint and people like that, and Jim Imhoff and Rand Paul and whatnot. And then to go to probably, if Tammy Baldwin was really being honest about her campaign, she'd be arm in arm with, you know, Bernie Sanders, the socialist from Vermont, and Michael Moore and Jesse Jackson would be in her commercials. That's who she associates with. I mean, she's vice chair of the Progressive Council in the House. None of the House leadership, by the way, is a member of her progressive group. So, you know, they're even outre for the Democrats in Washington.
Let me take a call from Ray in Eau Claire. Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Joy, and thanks, Dave and Ed, for giving your time to WPR. My concern is the possible flip of control of the Senate, because if the Republicans take control, then the ranking Republican on the Environmental Protection and Public Health Committee, James Inhofe from Oklahoma, will ascend to chairmanship. James Inhofe has recently published a book called The Greatest Hoax about the global warming conspiracy, yet if you go to the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's website, it'll confirm that though we had 6,000 record lows this last year from stretching back from mid-October, didn't begin to compare to the 32,000 record highs we had. Plus, we've got a shrinking Arctic ice cap that's the lowest on record.
Right, Ray, and I guess we can't go through all the various evidence that you have there. Right. Is climate change or global warming a hoax?
The globe has warmed and it's waxed and waned throughout its history, as we know. You know, we have a lot of glaciation in Wisconsin. We had mile high ice packs gouge out Lake Michigan. It was very cold. We've had times when the coal was laid down when it was very hot, and you had mosquitoes the size of albatrosses.
This is your best Romney impersonation.
So, you know, and let's take a look at this this hurricane that we just had here, Sandy, in the New England and New York area. And people are saying, well, that's caused by global warming. You know, in August 1954 through August of 1955, that area had three hurricanes that were of greater impact in dollars, if you account for inflation, than Sandy was. the greatest hurricane we've ever had was in Miami in 1926. It wiped away the bridge that they had going down the Keys then. The question is how much of it is caused. I think the question here is how much of it is caused by human activity, and then what can you do about it? And this whole exercise, I think, is an excuse for folks to say, in order to save the environment, we must control what you do, and that is the feedstock of the progressive idea.
Ed.
Well, for people who are at all reluctant to make a decision right now as to which way to vote, think about what happened in this hurricane. Think about the experts who have said that, for example, July was the hottest month in the history of the planet, that we've had rising temperatures. If the temperature goes up another 1 or 2 degrees, it might be all over. And so if anyone is concerned, think of Jim Imhoff as the chair of the committee that would be looking at this issue. What we need are scientists who know what they're talking about. Now I think there's maybe only 2 or 3 people in the Congress who actually deny that global warming is a phenomenon that's happening.
I have to jump in because we're way past break time. We are talking with Ed Garvey and David Blaska. This is the Week in Review. We'll have our Week in Review quiz coming up next and also talk about some issues going on in the state of Wisconsin, take a look at some of the congressional races in the state of Wisconsin, and other news of the week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Time for our Week in Review quiz. Here's the quiz question. NPR, National Public Radio, NPR issued an apology this week for their presidential coverage. Why did they have to apologize? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Why did NPR issue an apology this week for their presidential coverage? We'll announce the answer and the winner at the end of the hour. The winner will receive one of the books that we've featured on the program recently. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor, and Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates. This is our last Week in Review before Tuesday's election, so we're talking about all things political during this Week in Review. And let's talk about some of the congressional races in Wisconsin for a little bit, including a story in the news this week that got some attention. Republican congressional candidate Chad Lee's campaign dismissed a volunteer this week after he falsely claimed he was attacked at his home for being a gay Republican. Kyle Wood told several conservative media outlets that his car was vandalized and that he was beaten up for refusing to support Lee's opponent, Mark Pocan, in the 2nd Congressional District race. State Representative Mark Pocan is openly gay. However, Wood recanted his statements about the alleged assaults and now could face criminal charges for filing a false police report. And David Blaska, I know you, among many others, wrote about this.
Well, I linked to Daily Caller, which put it out. And yeah, I think, you know, it's an interesting question. What, did you just ignore that story that's out there? I mean, it is a question. I do notice that television used to, you know, put their cameras on the streaker that would go in the, you know, National Football League game and whatnot. Then they decided not to because that just encouraged more of that activity. so there's two sides on that. I guess if Kyle Wood was beaten up, he might get another beating here just for if he didn't get it first time for not helping the candidate of his choice. I'm not sure what the man's problems are. I don't want to get into that, but. But it was somewhat believable, Joy, in that, we had Senator Neil Kedzie's son who ran outside of his house, young adult son. Someone was stealing his yard signs, and he said, bring him back. And he got beat up by two fellows. I wouldn't laugh at that, Ed. You sound like Vice President
Biden. I just had never heard of this before, and it sounds somebody made it up.
No, it's not.
That story was in the news last week, and we did talk about that.
And he was hospitalized.
I apologize. I won't laugh.
He was pilot, and he was.
How was he hurt?
The police, I think, are still investigating exactly what happened there, right?
Which one?
The Neil Kedzie.
Well,
he said he was beat up by two men who were trying to steal one
right.
of his Mitt Romney signs.
Yeah, and he was beaten though. I mean, there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
We had nails on the roofing nails thrown down in Racine at the Tea Party event last weekend, last Saturday. Which, you know, police have a report on file, and there's numerous pictures of the nails, you know, strewn in the parking lot, and there are several. So I guess all I'm saying, Joy, is that this, you know, this story was believable. But obviously,
There were pictures of someone throwing these roofing nails in someone's driveway?
This is the parking lot of the event.
And someone saw somebody actually throw them?
You'd make a good defense attorney, Ed. You ought to take up the law.
Well, I'm just asking since you seem nails, to be the lawyer
the
here.
Nails, when the nails, when the people parked there, there were no nails. When they returned to their automobiles, there were nails. Some of them resulted in flat tires. So maybe they're magic nails, Ed.
Maybe they're bad tires.
They could be anything. You know
Ed,
that?
Do you want to, you've heard this story about in the 2nd Congressional District or any reaction to the media picking this up, at least the conservative media picking this up?
No, I have no problem with them picking it up and running with it, but you know, we have prosecutors for a reason. I mean, if somebody's violated the law, they ought to be prosecuted. So if he has some proof that somebody saw somebody throw the nails in the driveway, perhaps there should be some charges made. But if he hasn't seen that or they don't have any eyewitnesses, I think it's pretty tenuous for them to be saying that this is a deliberate effort from a Democrat to try to beat up a Republican to save something that's worthless, and that's a Romney yard sign.
Yeah, there seems to be at least a nastiness going on, or is this the way it always is?
This is Wisconsin, Joy, and we've had some nastiness here. I go back to February and March of 2011. I mean, I went out to the siege of the Capitol, and you know, I'm certainly willing, Ed, to say that 99 or 98% of the folks out there were well-meaning, but you had the Hitler mustaches, you had the cursing, the shouting down of a 14-year-old girl who tried to speak at an event that we had, and then the language was just terrible.
You see it on the other side, though, too, don't you, Dave?
Not in Madison, no. Mm-hmm. Maybe no, I don't see it on the other side, Joy. But I will say that there was a fellow who was convicted of threatening bombs at the Democratic headquarters. So it does exist. But to this, you know, I'll tell you what, though, and I would say this, if the Tea Party did one-tenth of the stuff that our liberal acquaintances have done in Wisconsin in the last 2 years, so to answer your question, I think, yes.
Didn't finish your thought. You said, if it's a thought.
I would say if they'd done one-tenth of what our liberal acquaintances have done, people would be outraged at the Tea Party. And they were outraged that the Tea Party existed.
Well, so far we've got some roofing nails in a driveway. Nobody saw anybody who put them there, and you've got somebody stealing a yard sign, and somebody...
Oh, it goes beyond that. I mean, I could have a whole litany.
It's not exactly like a gang where people are going around beating up people who are expressing their point of view.
We've had cars scratch. Well, that's called intimidation, Ed. So I mean,
well,
I know.
So you're saying that somebody from the Democratic Party was scratching the cars?
Okay, Ed.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to one of the congressional races in Wisconsin. Maybe one of the closest of all the House races in Wisconsin is in the 7th District in northern Wisconsin. Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy is facing Democrat Pat Kreitlow. The two debated last night in Superior, and they sparred over health care, taxes, and some other items. This district was remapped to protect Sean Duffy, and I'm wondering, Ed Garvey, if you think he's in any danger of losing this seat.
Well, I hope he's in danger of losing the seat, but I think that what we have seen here with the Republicans hiring Michael Best and Friedrich and others to draw lines that make it easier for Republicans to win races stands out in that particular district more than any other. It certainly also makes it less likely that the Democrats could ever win control of the Assembly or the State Senate. The line should be drawn by an impartial body, not by the Republican Party, not by the Democratic Party, but that's a long way into the future. So I don't know what's going to happen in the 7th. That was Dave Obie's area for years. Obie, as you know, is not running again, so we'll see what will happen.
So there's been some good news today, right? You're announcing that Dave Obie is not running again. That's
good. Is Sean Duffy in any trouble?
Joy, I'll be honest with you, I've got no idea.
Yeah, you're not watching that one.
Not watching that one.
Are you watching any of the congressional races?
No.
You think they're all?
I'm not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all in. I mean, to some extent, it's believe me, Tammy Baldwin profited from the same thing. They wanted to make their district safe. That is a shame. But I would just say, though, on and let's just talk about the state senate, which I think I think Republicans are going to take that maybe plus two seats. They're going to keep an overwhelming majority in the assembly. And I also think that, now, of course, we'll see what happens on Tuesday. But we, in the last two elections that we've had, 2012 and 2010, I'm talking about Scott Walker getting really. We've had statewide elections where Republicans have done very, very well. So it's not like they're cooking the books here in order to squeeze in a couple extra Republicans. The fact of the matter is, if you look at statewide elections, Republicans have taken, in Walker's case, a 7-point percentage point majority.
I'm guessing you're saying that Tom Tiffany is going to take that district in, that used to be Jim Holprin's.
That is one of them.
And
yes.
What was the other one?
Well, I think we got a good chance against Hansen in Green Bay. And then I'm drawing a blank, but I think there'll be some gains. Tom Tiffany definitely. And and Holprin somehow managed to hold on to that through force of personality. I've never met the man, but yeah.
It's so hard to keep track of these races because all of the attention in a presidential contest are related to the presidency, and then now also here the U.S. Senate race between Tommy Thompson and the likely winner Tammy Baldwin. It's hard to find out what's going on in these other races. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does a terrible job of covering politics. They've now decided they're not going to endorse anybody anymore, which I think is wonderful.
Ed, and that's my point. If I could just interject here, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel couched it in nice. You know, they're not going to. It's amazing. It's really a story in itself. Of course, the largest newspaper in Wisconsin has been for forever, is not going to endorse in the presidential or the U.S. Senate race. And they basically said it was due to the fallout and the flashback that they got from endorsing Scott Walker in the recall election this summer, which, again, is part of my point here, is the mau-mauing that your folks do.
Mau-mauing.
we're going to channel a little bit of...
Back to Kenya.
Yeah, of that author, Tom Wolfe. Yeah, well, I'm leaving that one alone, Ed.
Got to stop it here for a second because it's time to congratulate Ann in Stevens Point. She got our quiz question right. NPR issued an apology this week for their presidential coverage. Why did they have to apologize?
Big Bird endorsed Obama.
No, they made a 4-year-old Colorado girl cry. And this is in a video that's gone viral. Here is 4-year-old Abigail Evans explaining to her mother why she is crying.
Just because I'm tired of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney.
That's why you're crying? Oh, it'll be over soon, Abby.
Obama.
That's a Bronco Obama.
And Mitt Romney. So Abigail's mother says they were listening to NPR in the car when she started to cry.
Do you have a handkerchief or a Kleenex? I'm a little verklempt myself.
You're throwing dead cats around. And,
yeah. Has all this coverage made you want to cry, David?
Well, some of the poll results are making me cry. But you know what? I'm not going to blame the system. If we lose, I'm not going to say, let's change the rules, which you folks do. Every time you lose, you say, we got the rules are against us. We've got to cut off the money. We've got to stop. We've got to...
No more coffee.
And less than 30 seconds, Ed, you're kind of optimistic about...
I'm very optimistic. I think that Obama's run a very good campaign, and I think it's all coming together. The economy is doing better. Job reports have gone up every month that he's been president of the United States. He has Colin Powell and Mike Bloomberg and all sorts of good people supporting him. So I think he's going to win.
Thank you, Ed Garvey and David Blaska. This is The Week in Review. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, Cynthia Schuster, and Rob Ferret for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.